Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We've got a lot to cover this morning, but we'll try to do it in a short time. We'll be looking at a lot of supporting passages today, so get ready to move those pages as we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18 one more time. The Bible says there, 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Last week, we looked at the emphasis in these verses, which is on preaching. Preaching is the emphasis. But today we're going to take a look at what it is that we're supposed to preach. Okay, what are we to preach? It's not enough, see, to say, if you'll pray this prayer, Jesus will save you. You've got to let people know who Jesus is. What you got to let them know what he did and how you can be saved. Okay, a prayer will not save you. Faith in Jesus Christ will save you. Repeating somebody's words will not save you. Your faith in the gospel, your faith in the gospel will result in God saving you. So we're going to talk this morning about the cross and what Jesus Christ did in relation to the cross. And maybe we'll even go so far as to look at our relationship, our own relationship to the cross of Jesus Christ. All right, so let's look at some supporting verses here. Come to Philippians chapter 2. And then we'll be in John 19. You can see that by your notes there. Philippians 2. The preaching of the cross. We're to preach, but what are we to preach? First of all, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Number one, the cross is the instrument of the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to carry a cross. He came into this world to die on a cross. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to get rid of the cross, to abolish the cross. He came to die on the cross. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to change the Roman government so that they'd come up with a more humane method of treating criminals. He came into this world to die on a cross. As a man, Jesus Christ, as God, Jesus Christ, humbled himself and obediently laid down his life to die on that cross. Was he guilty? Absolutely not. Was he wronged? Did they do wrong to him? Yes, they did, absolutely. Was he lied about? Certainly. Were his accusers false accusers? No question about it. They were false accusers. Was his judge crooked? Certainly his judge was crooked. Was his death unjust? Was it unfair? No question about it. However, in spite of all of that, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's a great song, and I don't think you're going to find it in our songbook, our hymnal. It's not really a congregational kind of song, but it's more a song that you'd hear a soloist sing. But I'll tell you, it's a great song. It goes, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. You telling me that that Roman soldier killed Jesus Christ? I don't believe it. Are you telling me that Jewish temple guards crucified Jesus Christ? I don't believe it. I'm telling you, if the hands that stretched out the universe, this universe, if those hands were not voluntarily laid upon that cross, nobody would have put them there. Nobody could have put them there. I guarantee you, if God Almighty in a body of flesh had not willingly died a criminal's death, nobody would have executed him, that's for certain. And so when we preach that cross, we say Jesus Christ died on the cross. Nobody killed him. Nobody crucified him. Nobody murdered him. Nobody put him to death. No, he offered himself a sacrifice to pay for your sins. That's how we preach the cross. The cross is not where Jesus was killed. The cross was not where Jesus was executed. The cross is where Jesus died a voluntary death to pay for sins. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at John chapter 19, Gospel of John chapter 19. John 19 and verse 17. John 19:17, the Bible says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Okay, so picture this. Up there on the top of his cross, there's a writing, and it's nailed up there. And you probably know Matthew and Mark and Luke and John all give you something different. That was, they tell you something was written up there, but they're different. Okay, on that little plaque that they put on that superscription up there. And so people that want to criticize the Bible, they'll look at that and they'll say, well, see there's contradictions in the Bible. That proves it right there. No, because if you read your Bible, in one place it says it was written in Hebrew and it said such and such. And in another place it was written in Pilate's language, in Latin, and it said such and such. I mean, so listen, there's three different things written up there because there's three different languages used. And the message went out to all the people, whatever language they might speak. The message that this was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, hanging there on that cross. Now look at verse 25 there. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay, and then in another place we have some other names given to us, but down here, down at the foot of that cross, there are some people standing there, and they're looking on, okay, observing. There's some men there, and there's some women there, and they're standing, and they're looking on at that cross. And then the Bible also says that there were two other crosses on either side with crosses. Now, here's what else we need to preach. Those are bad men, and they can't save you. Some of the men who were there, though, they were good men. They cannot save you. Some of them were disciples. They can't save you. Mary was there, the mother of Jesus. She cannot save you. And so we teach that there are good people and there are people. There are right people and there are wrong people. There's disciples of the Lord and there's people that are not followers of the Lord. But the only one that can save you is the man in the middle, on that middle cross, Jesus Christ. Some of the people who were there may have believed on him. Some may not have believed on him. Some may have followed him. Some may have forsaken him. Some may have been watching idly, nothing better to do. Some may have wept with their hearts broken. But none of those people can save you from your sins. It's that man on that cross in the middle that can save you and nobody else. So when we preach the cross, we preach Jesus died for your sins and Jesus died to pay for your sins because nobody else could pay for your sins. That guy on the cross next to Jesus, he died for his own sins. The man on the other side died for his own sins. But the man in the middle, he had no sins of his own to die for. But he took your sins. He took my sins. That's why he's the Savior. Those other men can't be my Savior. They're sinners just like me. But Jesus can be my Savior because he is not a sinner like me. So when we preach the cross, we preach that the Jesus Christ on that middle cross, he's the only one who can save you. Amen. Well, what did the people do? Get to Matthew 27, and then you can see we'll be in Mark 15 after that. Matthew 27, and I mentioned last time that if you preach the gospel, some people will call you a fool. I also mentioned that if you witness and you speak up for Jesus Christ, people will think that's foolish behavior, and they don't be surprised if they call you all kinds of names. Okay? I told you to expect it, to be prepared to live with it. Just be a big boy, be a big girl, and go on with your life and enjoy being saved. Now let me show you something here. The Bible says in Matthew 27 and verse number 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel," well, that's what it says on the top, right? That's what it says on that plaque. "If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Now look, here is Almighty God in the body of flesh, dying for these people to pay for their sins, to save their souls from hell. One guy, he's wagging his head. Another guy's mocking. And then another guy's taunting. Another guy, he's throwing insults out there. Someone else is calling him a fool, calling him a crazy man. Now let me ask you something. If you preach that cross, that Savior, that sacrifice, that salvation, why are you surprised when the people standing round about hearing you respond the exact same way that they did at the foot of the cross? Some of them are going to walk by and they're going to wag their heads just like they did at the cross. Oh boy, here he goes again. Got to listen to this stuff again. Some of those people, they're going to stop and give you an earful, give you something you have to listen to. "You're crazy, man. Shut up. Keep it in the church. Get a job. Have a beer." That's what you'll hear. You go out on the streets and preach the cross. Be ready. What do you expect them to do? If they did that while the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross, you know when you preach that cross, they're going to do the exact same thing. Okay, look in Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. And verse number 29. Mark 15, 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others. Him Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. All right, watch this. I'll show you what else you need to preach. To the mockers. You know who he died for? The guy who passed by wagging his head. You know who he died for? The guy on the cross next to him who's reviling him. You know who he died for? That was mocking him and making fun of him. Do you know who he died for? The ones that were cursing his very name. He stayed right there on that cross and died for them. Think about this. All he would have had to do was just wink, and those mockers and revilers and railers could just drop dead. All he'd have to do was just think the thought, and he could have new head. But he didn't. Now watch, this crowd here, they said, "Save thyself. Save thyself." That was their philosophy. They despised him because, look, there he is, nailed to a cross. He told everybody he's such a tough guy, great guy, savior of the world. And look, there he is dying. And look, we're down here, we're still alive. Their philosophy was save yourself. And you know, do you know who they helped? They didn't help anybody in this world. They never did anybody any good one day of their life. His philosophy, the Lord Jesus, his philosophy was save others. And that's why we've got a hymn book with hundreds and hundreds of songs about him. And not one person is singing a song about that fellow that walked by wagging his head. These people thought only of themselves. And when they died, you know who has thought about them ever since that day they died? Nobody. But Jesus Christ on the cross, he gave himself for others. And so you know what? Others have praised his holy name ever since then. He could have come down off that cross. Yes, he could have saved himself. Wouldn't have been any problem at all. But that would have proved nothing except that he was a selfish sinner just like everybody else on the face of this earth. But when he stayed on that cross and he died for them, that proved he was Almighty God. You know there's only one sin in the Bible, right? It's selfishness. God says, love the Lord with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And those two commandments, they sum up the whole thing. Others, right? So every sin is an act of selfishness. Well, I didn't like. Well, I didn't feel. Well, they didn't. It's always me, 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 me. That's all it is. So here you've got the one person in the history of the world since Adam who put others ahead of himself. And that's why you're saved, that's why I'm saved. All right, now let me show you what they didn't see. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. You know, if one of you fellas that likes to preach put together a sermon, a character study, you could pick out all the people that the Bible talks about that were round about the cross when Jesus died and match up their actions and their words to what you and I deal with on a daily basis. And you'll nothing has changed. People have not changed. We're dealing with the same people who are doing the same things. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, look at this, nailing it to his cross. You need to preach that about the cross. See, look, Pilate wrote a title, a superscription. He put it on top of the cross. And the people standing round about the cross, they could see that. You know, something else happened. As Jesus Christ laid his hand down on that cross, God Almighty placed something between the cross and those hands. And when the nails drove those hands into the cross, they nailed with him to the cross the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That there's the law on that cross. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven image. Honor thy father and mother. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so on and so forth. The law. God's writing the law right there. It's nailed with the Lord Jesus to the cross. So what happens? They drive that nail in the hand of Jesus Christ, and down flows that precious blood and covers not just my transgressions, but covers the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Against me. And so when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, not only are my sins forgiven, but I cannot be condemned, because the very law that would condemn me, it has been covered by the blood. So what do we preach? Jesus died on the cross. Nobody around the cross could save. Only Jesus could save. We preach that people mocked, people ridiculed, they made fun of the Lord. But you may have been one of those. You may have despised him at one time. You may have used his name as a cuss word. But he stayed on that cross and he died for you, even you. And all your sins can be forgiven because he paid for every single thing that anybody would ever do that was wrong. He shed his blood to cover that. Now, if somebody walked in here this morning, some big thug with a baseball bat, let's say, and he walked up and he said, "Preacher, I'm going to break your legs." I say, "Well, how come? Because you owe me $200. I'm going to break your legs. You haven't paid me that $200. And Brother James there, he stands up. He says, "Hold on, fella. I'll cover it." And he hands that man $200. It's paid. I don't get my legs broke. James covered it. Now, you know something? God Almighty was going to throw me in hell. I owed a debt I could not pay. And one day death was going to walk through my door and demand payment. He was going to throw my soul in hell. But Jesus Christ stepped up to the cross and he said, "Hang on, death. I'll cover it. I'll cover it." He paid my debt in full with his own precious blood. You can't take me to hell. You can't take me to hell. My debt is paid. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll begin at verse number 11. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. So the handwriting of ordinances was nailed to the cross. Watch this, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. All right? So watch this. I want to show you something, I hope this will be a help to you, clear this up a little bit. At the foot of the cross is a black man. Also at the foot of the cross is a white man. He doesn't like black men because their skin is black, but he goes to the beach and he lays out there on the beach to see how dark he can make his skin because he thinks it looks good. And this black man and this white man, they don't want anything to do with each other. They don't like each other. They hate each other even. Not only that, but this black man doesn't have any use for Jesus Christ. And the white man feels the same. He doesn't have any use for Jesus Christ. But one day, somebody comes around and preaches the gospel to the black man, and he sees that Jesus died for his sins and rose again. He sees that Jesus' blood is his only hope of heaven. And that black man drops to his knees. He trusts in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the Bible says that the cross of Jesus Christ reconciled that man to God. You see that? He and God are no longer enemies. Then one day, a fellow comes along and he preaches the gospel to that white man. And that white man realizes that he's a good-for-nothing sinner, and the only way he can get to heaven is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he bows his knees. He calls on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, through the cross of Jesus Christ, that man is reconciled to God, and he and God are no longer enemies. But did you see what else happened in this passage that we just read? Verse 11, Gentiles and Jews, circumcision and uncircumcision. Verse 14, he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. When God came to live inside that white man, all of a sudden, that wasn't a black man, that was brother. And when God's love came into the heart of that black man, all of a sudden, that wasn't a white man anymore, that was brother. And I'm telling you, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ not only unites man to God, but it unites man to man. And every attempt that you're going to make to get these same two people together without the cross is going to end in disaster. But if these two people both come to the cross, you won't have to attempt to get them together because God will get them together. I'm telling you, there are people who you would hate if Jesus didn't save you. There's people you wouldn't give them the time of day if Jesus hadn't saved you. There's people sitting in this building together this morning who love one another, who would have never sat anywhere together, who wouldn't even like one another, much less love one another. But Jesus Christ and his work on the cross has made you a different man on the inside. That's the cross. People are running around, peace, peace. We want peace on earth. Peace, we want peace on earth. But don't preach that Jesus stuff. Well, you can't have peace without Jesus. It just can't happen. That's true. You can't love unless you know God, because God is love. You can't love unless you've got the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. But if you know God and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, don't tell me you can't love that man. Don't tell me you can't love that woman. Just tell me you're in the flesh and you don't want to, but don't ever tell me you can't. It's not true. You know that crowd down there around the cross? Jesus loved them enough to die for them. And they weren't very lovable. I'm just saying, he can make you a different person. All right, so let's see. What does it take to follow Jesus? Matthew 10. This is in the Bible at least five times. Matthew 10. First, let me remind you what we've looked at so far, because some of you came in and missed most of this. The cross is the place where Jesus died. Number two, he died for others and not for himself. Number three, he died because he loved those who did not love him. And number four, we just saw, he makes peace. He makes peace. Okay, now Matthew 10. Verse number 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Okay, now look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, now Jesus Christ is not asking you to get yourself nailed to a piece of wood. He's asking you to lay down your life for others, not for self. To love those who don't love you, to make peace. That's what he's asking you to do. If a fellow walked in here this morning and he pulled out an automatic rifle and he said, all right, any of you who stand up for Jesus Christ, I'll gun you down. Well, there's enough of us here. We could probably encourage one another, and most of us would stand up and take a bullet rather than to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But think about this. What if some fellow walked in here and he said, I just shot that little old lady out there in the parking lot. What are you going to do about it? Okay. Would you lay down your life for somebody like that, for that fellow? Would you love him enough to give him the gospel and try and bring him to the place of peace with Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, it's easier to take a bullet for the Lord than it is to take up your cross and follow him. You probably heard the stories. Some terrible rapist or murderer kills somebody's daughter, and there's been people, parents, who've actually gone to visit that guy and try to lead him to Christ. And I have often thought, could I do that? I doubt it. I don't know if that's in me, but it's supposed to be. It's easier to die in a moment of passion than it is to live day in and day out, denying yourself so that others might benefit. Disciple, discipline, follower. That's what Jesus is looking for. All right, look in Luke 14. Luke 14. Have you noticed something? You know, the deep things are not in Revelation. There's some interesting things. If we did a study on Revelation, you know, we'd be interested. But those things aren't really deep things like this. The deep things are here in 1 Corinthians. That stuff in Revelation, it makes no demands on you. But this stuff, I hope this is the result. This stuff makes you examine yourself. Luke 14, verse 27. Well, let's get some context here. Jesus has invited some people to follow him. Look in verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Do you know who doesn't take up the cross and follow Jesus? The I crowd. Now, is there anything wrong with having a piece of ground? No, but if it keeps you from following Jesus, it'd be a good idea to get rid of it. Is there anything wrong with a yoke of oxen or a brand new car? No, but if it keeps you from following Jesus, you better change your occupation. Okay? I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Is there anything wrong with marrying a wife? Of course not. But if you use your family as an excuse for not serving Jesus Christ, then there's a problem. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't tell me you aren't serving God because you want to spend time with your family. That is not serving God. All right, now the contrast. Look at verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now look, you can learn about Jesus and not take up the cross. You can talk about Jesus and not take up the cross. You can hang out with people who are living for Jesus and not take up the cross. You can enjoy singing hymns about Jesus and not take up the cross. See, the Lord is not looking for people, the Lord's looking for people who will die to self and love others and make peace. Those are disciples, not church members, not saved people. Those are disciples. The Lord's looking for disciples, people who will follow him. Look at his example. Do like he did. Think like he thought. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. You know, the Lord doesn't have to say anything more than once, but he keeps saying this thing over and over. In Luke 9, we'll back up a little and get the context. Look at verse 21, Luke 9, 21. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. How's that sound? Appealing? And be rejected of the elders. That sounds like something I'd want to sign up for, huh? And chief priests and scribes, and be slain. Well, that doesn't sound like the course of least resistance, does it? Suffer, rejected, slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me. Well, sure, why not? Why wouldn't I want to come after you and go for that suffering and being rejected and maybe dying? You see why that TV preaching appeals to people? You know, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you popular. I'm going to make you happy. Come after me. Well, who wouldn't come after that? In fact, people pay good money to get involved with Scientology to get that kind of stuff. But the Lord says, suffer, rejected, slain. Anybody want to come after me? It's no wonder he doesn't have a big crowd. No wonder churches are full. They're full of people, but they're very, very few disciples in those churches. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You want a confession? I'll make my confession, and I'll make it publicly. There are days when I feel like doing this. So on those days, I give it a pretty good shot because I feel like it. And there's days when I don't feel like doing this. And so I make no attempt whatsoever. Meaning what? Meaning I'm not a disciple. I'm just living in the flesh. But the disciple on the day that he doesn't feel like laying down his life for others, when he doesn't feel like loving those who don't love him, on those days he puts his flesh on the cross and lets Jesus Christ have his way in his life. Your marriage won't fail because there are days when you're in the flesh and you don't feel like putting your husband or your wife ahead of yourself. Your marriage will fail if on those days you stay in the flesh and you don't yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church won't get torn up if there's days when the majority doesn't feel like following Jesus. Church will get torn up if the majority, when they don't feel like it, just goes ahead and walks in the flesh and tears the thing up instead of yielding control of the whole thing to the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, every single day, lay down your life for others, not yourself. Love those who don't love you, and strive to make peace among all men. If you do that every single day, then you can call yourself my disciple. How'd you do? Mark chapter 8. How many disciples do we have here today? Mark chapter number 8. You know, it's lessons like this that compel me to be real, real careful. You've heard me say many times, I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. But I don't think you've heard me say, I'm a Christian. No, I'm saved. I'm saved, but I don't believe my life bears very much resemblance to the life of Jesus Christ. I know him. He's my Savior. I know I'm on my way to heaven, but there's a big difference between the way he walked as he went through this world and the way I walk through this world. How about you? Praise God for eternity. Praise God we've got that millennial kingdom figured out. Bless God. We know right where that tribulation period belongs. That's great. But how about the guy who doesn't agree with you? How are you treating him? Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. All right, let me show you just one more thing here. Show you one more thing. At the foot of the cross were some men who were saying some very, very bad things to and about Jesus Christ. Now, when those men mistreated Jesus, why did he stay on that cross and die and pay for their sins? Because he cared more about them than he did about himself. Why will you and I allow mocking and ridicule and hatred, criticism, disapproval? Why will you and I allow that to stop us from preaching the cross? Just be honest. Because we care more about ourselves than we do those people who are lost and on their way to hell. If we can get to the place where we are crucified with Christ, dying for those people, we'll stay right there, preach that cross, no matter what those people throw our way. You know what some of those disciples did? They left him. One of them was Peter. As soon as the Lord had an opportunity, he went and he looked Peter up. And he made peace. You know why? Because he loved Peter more than he loved himself. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a good thing that Jesus is the Savior. If I had to save myself, I couldn't do it. And this crowd that says you can lose your salvation, they'll tell you that you can lose it if you do those bad things, like get drunk, and you can lose it if you fool around with a woman, you can lose it if you go reprobate. All those those things that really sound terrible, but how about this stuff we're looking at today? Why don't they include that? What if you're not like Jesus? What if you're selfish instead of putting others ahead of yourself? That's the greatest sin in the whole Bible. So I'm saved because Jesus paid for all my sins. There's no doubt about that. But the question is, am I like him? Am I like him? You know the answer to that. I want to be. I want to be. So what does it take? It takes every single day getting out of that bed and looking at that mirror and saying, buddy, you are dead. And you're not telling me what to do today. And then finding Jesus Christ on my knees with this Bible open in front of me and saying, Lord, you're alive. Would you please think your thoughts with my mind? Speak your words with my mouth and walk your way with my feet and treat people your way with my heart. And I got to do that every day. Because the day that I don't put me on the cross is the day me is going to make a big mess of things. I'm out of my whole life. And if I ever get to the end of the day and it's been a pretty good day with the Lord, well, it's only because the Lord got to do with me what he wanted to do with me. Amen. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this important lesson. Lord, there's a lot of things that would tempt to make us give up, quit, whenever we're mistreated or someone says something that hurts our feelings. Help us, Lord, to put those things on the cross and just crucify those things so that we can do what you told us to do, so we can be obedient to your commands ourselves and to crucify our just be a disciple. Help us, Lord, to be a disciple, to make peace with others, to preach the cross at every opportunity and not let anything that happens to us shut our mouth to it. Lord, help us to be obedient to what you've shown us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.